My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Ryan, how are you?
There we go.
Yes, fantastic.
Hey, happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday. It's Mike and Brad from the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. We appreciate you making some time for us today. Sorry we were having a little trouble in connecting there. How's things in your world today at Fox News Radio?
Oh, good. Just finished up a podcast recording / segment that I'm doing with Chad Pergam that'll air tomorrow on hurricane relief and what a relief package may look like. So lots of moving parts here.
It seems like I've been following a lot of that hurricane relief that's going on. Man, the stories just keep getting worse because the flooding is still going on down there. And I saw they're doing even more water rescues right now because the rivers are now overflowing.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of problems. My parents actually live in Fort Myers. They were able to be safe, and they didn't get any major damage, fortunately. But if we want to have a positive thing that came out of this, one of our Fox affiliate hosts, Mark Starling, over in Asheville, actually was featured on CBS Evening News for the work that he did with one of his co-hosts, where they actually they were pretty much the only line of communication through their AM network. And, you know, they helped, established help centers, help people get in contact because they weren't able to, call in a certain, cell service was out. So it was a pretty phenomenal thing what they did in terms of stepping up for the people of Asheville and North Carolina and getting people reunited and all that.
That's amazing. That's a great story.
Yeah, I retweeted earlier, so definitely go check it out. It's pretty heroic what they were able to do, and they're not going to take any credit for it, but what they did was awesome.
We're talking with Brian Smells. He is Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit because I'm hearing that Fox News is trying to get a last-minute debate done.
We did, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Trump put out a statement yesterday saying that he was not going to do it. Actually, one of his justifications was that since Vice President Harris said on The View that she would not do anything differently than President Biden, he thinks that there is no need to have a debate now because she's answered all the questions she needs to. So I don't know. We could debate the truth of that statement, but the reality is that's one of the reasons he's justifying really not having another debate with Vice President Harris. And he is claiming victory for both the first debate as well as the debate between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz.
So we were talking right before you joined us about the fact that Kamala Harris is seeming to try to have everything both ways, where she wants to say, hey, I've got all these new ideas and day one, I'm going to do this. But when she gets asked on shows, those hard hitting news shows like The View, and they say, what would you do different than Joe Biden? And she's like, really, I can't think of anything. How does she get herself out of that pickle?
It's hard to know. I mean, she's tried to do it through policy and laying out her specific plans, which, in some ways do contrast from President Biden's agenda. And she's kind of tried to do it that way. But at the same time, yes, she's refused to throw President Biden under the bus. And that's kind of one of the big question marks. It's like, okay, well, if President Biden's polling as poorly as he is, but you're trying to find that balance of, separate yourself from President Biden, but, don't completely separate yourself from President Biden because, you want to attach yourself to some of the things from the administration. If this is one of the things she struggled with. And, many will argue they've run a pretty solid campaign, up until this point, but this has been one thing they've struggled with. You have a little bit of a setback, maybe not a major one, from the vice presidential debate where J.D. Vance came off very strong. But B, Harris has these moments, and there's a possibility this view, some people believe this view appearance could really be, taken up by the Trump campaign and utilized. And it could be one of those lasting images if they don't win on election day. So that was kind of a little bit of a setback where she is, you know, struggling, it looks like, to really find out if she's different from President Biden, but also, you know, she's refused to really aggressively separate herself because she doesn't want to criticize him.
Are you hearing from the Harris campaign as to where they want to go with her on these last this last month of the campaign?
Well, we started off in Arizona this week. That's where she's made her latest appearance. It looks like, you know, Nevada, I think, is going to be the next stop for the Harris campaign. But, you know, based off the Fox News polling that we have, you know, we've got a number of battleground states that are still up as rated as toss-ups. And it's a lot of the ones you'd expect. But, you know, when we did our individual polling of Arizona, you know, Harris is doing very well in that state. And, you know, there's a possibility she could be the winner. And that was a state that was supposed to be a shoo-in for Republicans years ago. So there's a benefit to putting extra time in Arizona because, you know, there's also a Senate race there where Democrats are actually polling very well in. And Democrats feel that, you know, if they're able to pull it off, you get a double whammy. You get the presidency in that race, and you also get you keep that seat blue for the Democrats. But if they're going to be specifically staying there more than other states, I'm not quite sure. I think Pennsylvania has become kind of the one, you know, maybe like the new Ohio, where we expect a lot of campaigning there because it's kind of viewed as maybe the biggest state now and the most important state because Ohio's kind of trended red, as has Florida. But I would expect, you know, Pennsylvania, Michigan to be big spots for them. But then, I don't know if they're going to really prioritize Georgia and Arizona as well. But I think those would probably be the big four I would expect to see a lot of time spent in, as well as Wisconsin. That's one other thing to add. They're doing their blue wall bus tour, which means the blue wall, a lot of Midwest. So expect over the next week or so a lot of campaigning in Wisconsin as well as Michigan.
How much, if any, do you think these Senate races are going to bleed into the presidential races in those swing states?
Well, I think somebody pointed out recently that there has not been a Senate race where, in a long time, maybe there's been one, where the state goes the opposite direction of how they vote in the Senate. So Susan Collins is probably, I believe, the only recent example where a Republican won a statewide election for the Senate, and then the presidency went for...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Somebody else. So, you know, it seems like the Senate race could bleed over in Montana, where you know, former President Trump is expected to win by a pretty hefty margin. And you've seen the polling kind of separate from John Tester in that state, where this is probably Republicans' best chance of flipping the Senate completely and getting to 51 instead of having to worry about a 50-50 tie. And I also think, you know, the one that I think is going to be the most interesting will be Ohio. Because former President Trump is polling very well in that state. He's expected to win by a decent margin. Could be tight. We'll see. But Sherrod Brown looks like he has the polling advantage. We have it rated as a toss-up, but, you know, Sherrod Brown maybe might be a slight favorite right now. I think that's the one where you're going to see a major implication of, you know, does the presidential race bleed over into a Senate race? And that's kind of what we have to wait and see.
I'm curious. I think West Virginia, everybody pretty well assumes, is going to go Republican.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a flip seat. Montana,
yeah,
it looks like, could very well be a flip seat. Is that what gets you to 51, or does that get you to 52?
Yeah, that's the easiest way to get to 51. Yeah,
51.
So West Virginia likely to flip already. I mean, it's almost a done deal from what it looks like. That'll be 50-50. Then if Montana flips, and just judging by all the polling you see out there, this is Republicans' second best chance at a guaranteed flip, which is to go for Montana. So that would make it 51 to 49. And then there's a couple other ones that Republicans are doing decent in terms of polling. It would probably be, you know, Ohio would be the next best chance at a flip. and then you're probably looking at maybe Pennsylvania or Wisconsin for the best chances after that.
For everything that I've heard so far, the reach seems to be 53. That's about all that they think they're going to be able to get to as a reach. 51 seems to be the number, like you were talking about, how they think they're going to get there. A lot of people that I'm hearing from think 52 is going to be that number. And from everything that I've kind of heard, that seems to be the big thing that people want to hold on to. They've got to win the Senate, because the Senate is going to be the stopgap. Even if Trump doesn't win, it's going to stop a lot of stuff that could really come back to hurt them. But what are you hearing about the House?
Well, the reality is, and one more thing on the Senate first, and that's that the one thing that's holding Republicans back here, it seems to be fundraising and candidate quality. There are a couple of states where they did not get maybe the ideal A-plus candidate they wanted. Wisconsin, I think, is a good example where Mike Gallagher chose not to run. And just fundraising has been a huge issue for Republicans. It has held a lot of them back from being able to travel the entire state in certain cases, and that's been a huge burden. Nevada, Sam Brown, that's a good example of that. Now, getting to the House, this is so complicated because this could really go any way, and there's so many little factors that play into the House. And I think, you know, when you talk to operatives in both parties and they say, oh, we're confident, you know, they're always going to say that. But then sometimes you can tell when they're kind of misleading, or they're just trying to, it's fake optimism. But, you know, both sides here, they've got reason to be optimistic. And it is a fascinating House map. I think the one thing I would point out, if we're going to look at the Midwest and if there's any indication, the one thing that might have Republicans worried about how the House could go is that you have Iowa, a state that has been trending red. Republicans have won big in multiple statewide elections over a multiple election cycles. The two House candidates there in swing districts did very well in 2022. You know, you have Marionette Miller-Meeks. She won her seat in 2020 by 6 votes, and then she won by a pretty hefty margin in 22. Well, now you've got two seats there. One's lean R, the other's been moved from likely R to a toss-up. And, you know, Democrats probably weren't expecting to be competitive there, but now it's very competitive for Democrats, and that's a good sign. And then, you know, New York was probably going to be the state that we were all watching for on election night, because there are about 5 or 6 competitive seats there. Well, you know, one big issue, you have a Republican in that state who is now facing Anthony D'Esposito. He's facing accusations that he put his mistress on his congressional payroll, and so he could have a huge ethics case that might, you know, put his race in jeopardy. And you've got a number of other J's. I mean, you've got Republicans who are defending pretty blue areas or very toss-up areas. So it's just a very competitive state, and it could be the indication of where the night's going to go. But one more thing on the House I want to point out is that you have a number of Democrats who were defending House seats that we thought were likely going to go blue and that they were going to have a pretty easy time cruising the reelection. Well, those members decided to run for bigger seats in the Senate. You know, Alyssa Slotkin in Michigan, Abigail Spanberger in Virginia is running for governor. Then you have Katie Porter in California, who's running for, who ran for Senate and lost, and David Trone in Maryland, who gave up his seat because he decided to run for Senate and ultimately lost. Those seats went from being likely Democrat ones to now very competitive seats. So it's kind of like that's the thing where these little things like that are contributing to whether or not Republicans are going to be able to hold on to the House or ultimately lose it.
You know, the good news for you is you've got great job security going on right now, man. There is so much to keep tabs on, and we appreciate you doing that. And if you're good with it, we'd love to check back with you over the course of the next month and just keep tabs on what's going on.
Oh, I would love that. I love coming on this show, and no matter who hosts it, it's always a great time and always a lot of fun.
Well, Ryan, we appreciate your time this time. Hope you have a fantastic weekend.
Hey, same to you, my friend. Thank you.
That is Ryan Smells from Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. There is a lot going on, and we are going to play a little fun game on the other side of this. A game that, to be honest with you, I always suck at, and it is the bee or not the bee. Ryan Wiggins is coming back in with us on Wiggins America. I'm Mike Elam, sitting in for Annie Fry today on 97.1 FM Talk.